Wisconsin remains under a statewide mask mandate after Governor Evers issued a new emergency order on Thursday. That came about an hour after the Republican-led legislature had voted to kill the previous mandate. The GOP says the orders are illegal, that a governor can issue only one 60-day emergency order, which he did back in March. Evers doesn't see it that way. In a video announcing the new mask mandate, he accused Republicans of putting politics ahead of public safety.
Our fight against this virus isn't over. It's not going away, especially as we see mutations of this virus in our state and others. Wearing a mask is the most basic thing we can do to keep each other safe. If the legislature keeps playing politics and we don't keep wearing masks, we're going to see more preventable deaths, and it's going to take even longer to get our state and our economy back on track.
Republicans are working on a new resolution to block the latest order and are considering filing an emergency action in the state Supreme Court. That court heard arguments and a challenge to the order last fall, but has not said when it would make a decision. You can let us know what you think at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about a statewide mask mandate? Do we need one, or should that decision be left to local governments or businesses? How concerned are you about the legality of emergency orders? Even if you want an emergency order, do you think the governor has exceeded his authority? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Charlie Jacobs is a professor of public law, judicial process, and American politics at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Charlie, good to have you back with us.
Nice to be here, Rob.
Well, there's a New York Times headline. I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like Wisconsin had a mask mandate and then lost it and has it back again for now. I mean, it's back and forth on this thing. What do you make of all this?
It's like a tennis match, isn't it? It's I think it's emblematic of the politics of the age, whether it's at the national level or what you see in a lot of states, which is the parties sort of digging in on a perception that their position is the right one. And there seems to be a general unwillingness to sit down in an amicable way and try to compromise on these issues. I think even some of the rhetoric that we saw in the few days surrounding the joint resolution that repealed the mask mandate, there seemed to be very little common ground that either side was finding with each other, even scoffing at the idea that they'd engage in the administrative rule process to try to create some sort of mask mandate to get us through the process of inoculation when the, as we try to vaccinate everyone for the pandemic. So it seems sort of in form with what we've been seeing for the last several years. But one would have thought that sort of as we're ending this cycle with the pandemic, that cooler heads might have prevailed so that we can get over the last couple of hurdles before we finish out this process.
Republican State Senator and Senate President Chris Kapinga was on WPR's The Morning Show today. He said, this isn't about the mask mandate itself, but an abuse of power by Governor Evers in reissuing the order past the initial authority. Here's a listen.
It's COVID now, but what happens when it's another issue? And I talk to my friends who are Democrats on this and remind them that what if this is a Republican governor and they choose to act unilaterally after a 60-day emergency order and start putting things into place that you don't think are appropriate? That divided government, split government is there to protect everyone from unilateral power and authority. That's not how Republicans or the Republic works.
So, Charlie, the argument that it isn't about the mandate in and of itself, it's about a governor exceeding the authority granted to him by current Wisconsin law. What do you think?
It's a fair point, and it's the point that was made before the state Supreme Court on November 16th when the litigation that was brought forward regarding the mandate was argued. And so I think the Republicans have some firm ground to stand on here. It can be abused. This particular section of state code allows for the governor one 60-day emergency order. But of course, you can extend the hypothetical from your clip. What happens if an emergency does have to be extended? Under what circumstances? If an order ends, does that mean that we're basically back at go on the monopoly board and we get to start all over again? When does an emergency begin and end? When does an order end and you can begin another one? The statute is drawn is rather vague. And so while yes, there is an interpretation of Section 323 of the code that suggests 60 days should be the point at which you pull the plug. At the same time, it is not clear about when and how the governor might be able to extend it, even if the legislature objects. And of course, it really begs the question, at what point should the legislature engage? So, you know, the quote there is about, do you want the governor to abuse the power? The flip side of that same coin is, can the legislature abuse its authority by not engaging the governor in a conversation about what type of declaration is appropriate and how long they should run? It's a two-way street. It's a two-sided coin, and they both have to engage in this kind of argument.
Talking to Charlie Jacobs from St. Norbert College in De Pere about the back and forth on Wisconsin's mask mandate. You can join in with your thoughts. What do you want to see happen? Mask mandate or no? Do you think the governor has abused his authority here, or is he doing the right thing? 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go to your calls now. Jerry is with us in Waukesha. Jerry, hi.
Hi there.
What do you want to tell us, Jerry?
Well, I'd like to just make a couple points. Although there may not be a whole lot of supporting evidence, my feeling on the mask mandate is healthcare facilities, nursing homes, exposing the elderly to the younger crowd. Absolutely. Masks should be worn because we don't want to kill any more old people than Governor Cuomo did in New York. As for any other facilities, leave it up to the businesses. If they want a mandate that you have to wear one to enter their place of business, if they want your money and you want to wear a mask, that's wonderful. Beyond that, it's a violation of personal freedoms and rights.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Charlie, some Republicans have offered a plan, not exactly that, but specifying more narrowly which facilities could be covered on a mask mandate. I don't know if that's gone anywhere. But as Jerry wanted, leaving businesses, for example, on their own to decide something like that.
And certainly that kind of stepwise approach is one that is a feasible alternative to the mask mandate that the governor has been employing over the last more than half year at this point. And certainly that's the process by which you want to engage this discussion between the governor and the legislature. I think the other side would come back and make the counter argument that one of the difficulties with that is individuals won't know what they're required to do in what kind of circumstance. Certainly, too, we could leave this to localities. But as you do your day-to-day business, it might be difficult to know whether or not a mask is mandated in one place and not in another. And if you find yourself in a condition where you might be more susceptible to catching it, sort of randomly walking into places that may or may not have a mask mandate makes it a little bit more difficult. So the argument from Evers is the blanket mask mandate makes more sense because everyone is covered in a uniform way. And of course, Jerry's making an argument for personal freedom, which is one that conservatives and Republicans often make. And I think the alternative he's offering and one that the legislature is offering as well is a starting point for the discussion with the governor.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Tim in Richland Center. Tim, hi.
Hi. I have several hundred employees and own several businesses. And I just want to say Republicans are bad for business. I want to get back up to full employment. And the sooner everybody masks up and the sooner this virus goes away, the more we can do business. And they're just prolonging it. And it's just one example of how they're bad for business. That's my new mantra. Republicans are bad for business.
Tim, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing your experience. Charlie, we saw a lot of groups, medical groups, health groups, but also some business groups, I think, line up and say, no, please keep the mask mandate, making similar arguments to our caller.
I mean, according to epidemiologists, and I'm a political scientist, so sometimes I'm not considered a real one, but if we lean on the real scientists out there, you know, they're suggesting that, as Tim is, if we get uniform mask wearing, we're going to reduce transmissibility, we're going to reduce infection rates, we're going to reduce death rate, and hopefully that will help us get to the point of vaccinations and help us all get back to normal. And, you know, the lack of masks may exacerbate that. You know, sometimes, and I use this metaphor with my students in class a lot, you know, sometimes we hit the plus button on the Google Maps and boy, we get the street view, but sometimes it takes hitting the minus button to sort of get a broader perspective of what we're trying to accomplish here. And I think that's what Tim is, the point he's trying to make here is that sometimes you have to give up some of that individual freedom to achieve some longer, long-term goals. And I think some of that debate about the 60 days is about that. Is an extension prudent in this sort of circumstance? Because that's what we need to get us to the long-term goal. But again, that's a political dispute and one that the parties are going to have to wrangle with if they're going to come to some conclusion about this issue.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Teresa next in Reedsburg. Teresa, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Teresa?
Well, I'm a nurse in a ER, and I just wanted to say for people who think that the science is sketchy behind masks, it most certainly is not. And we've been masking forever in facilities during this type of a season. And I think mask wearing has cut down overall on all illnesses this year because we haven't seen even the typical influenza, strep, respiratory viruses. And I think if we don't keep it consistent as a statewide rule, people won't be comfortable with it. They won't know where to wear it and where not to wear it. So I think it's important that we keep it up till people are vaccinated and the numbers are way down. And also, I listened to that congressperson this morning, and he just sounded upset that no one talked to them. It didn't sound like he had like an argument that masks were good or bad. He just said he didn't talk to us. Well, they didn't talk to him either, and they really don't usually. So if you have that kind of relationship where you know you can't get anything passed, why would you?
Teresa, thanks a lot for the call. Charlie, getting back to kind of where you started, not a working relationship between a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's, you know, we see that when the legislature doesn't pass a COVID related bill for about 10 months, as we're in the midst of this, I think it exposes some of the difficulties that we're having in the partisan politics and the environment that we're dealing with partisan politics today. And I think that's what, you know, Teresa is trying to make a point here. Somebody sometimes has to be magnanimous and come to the table and try to get this done. And, you know, to the credit of both the governor and the Republican held Senate, they tried to negotiate some elements, but that seemed to be overturned by some of the actions by the assembly. And so it seems like, you know, the state legislature itself can't come to a compromise about how they're going to work with the government in divided government. And that's really the key. It's how do you give a little to get a little? How do you swallow some pride to make sure that you get some or most of what you want and give up a little bit more? And I think it's going to take something on an issue of this kind of importance to try to break a logjam. And if they do, it might accrue real benefits to the work that's going to have to get done in the next year.
We're picking up our talk about Governor Evers' emergency powers and the statewide mask mandate. Last week, the Republican legislature voted to strike down the order, saying Evers only had the authority to issue the original 60-day order last March. He answered by issuing a new mandate. And then there's the state Supreme Court. What are they going to do? Charlie Jacobs is our guest, professor of public law, judicial process, and American politics at St. Norbert College. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Charlie, before we go back to our callers, we've got three branches of government. We've been talking about a divide between two of them, the governor and the legislature. What are you watching for in the courts?
Yeah, it's funny to me how long it's taken them to rule in this case. And the reason I say that is because some of the earlier cases regarding COVID rules and regulations, you know, in particular, the stay at home order that was overturned on May 13th, you know, the issue was resolved relatively quickly. This one they've kind of sat on. And I'm wondering whether or not they were hopeful that they wouldn't really have to touch it and they would let the legislature get back in place. It would be negotiated. And it would basically be a moot point. Wouldn't have to deal with this one anymore. And it seems like it's just swung right back into their chambers and ready for them to resolve. So it may be that they've already discussed it. It may be that they find it to be a hot potato and they don't really want to try to grapple with this because they may be responsible for aiding and abetting the ending of a mask order or aiding and abetting the trampling of the rule of law, at least in the perspective of Republicans in the state house. So I think this is a tricky one for them. And they also have a new balance of power with Justice Hagedorn often siding with the liberal members of the court. So they may be just sort of wrangling over language and trying to figure out exactly what they want to do.
Let's go back to our callers now. Mark is with us in Two Rivers. Mark, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. Personally, I do believe this is an overstep of the governor's authority. But that being said, we've been in this emergency for over a year. And irregardless of what the governor may or any emergency that the governor calls, people understand that there's an emergency and they're going to wear a mask regardless of what the governor says or doesn't say. And personally, I'm getting kind of tired of the debate at the state level, and I find it offensive. Stop treating me like a little kid. And secondly, of all the things the state legislature could debate at this point in the argument, this is the last one they should be looking at. They should be looking at, why do the websites not work? I got an email to register for an appointment for an inoculation. They told me the website to go to, and it didn't work. And there's a lot of frustration going on here amongst myself or with myself and among others as well. And I see this with a lot of the colleagues that I work with and family members who live in other states. So,
Mark. I want to jump in. We want to get to a couple more callers in. But Charlie, Mark thinking, hey, lawmakers and the governor have better things to do with their time, he says.
But, you know, one of the points Mark makes is sort of interesting, that the governor seems to keep saying that, well, we need a mask mandate, but don't worry because we're not really going to enforce it because nobody yet has been fined because of it. And so, you know, there's sort of a disconnect in the message that's being sent. And I suppose there are those individuals who find this very, very paternalistic. I think the argument is the consistency that we'll see across the state when various institutions, whether governmental or non-governmental, are required to do it, you're going to see more compliance, in part because it becomes part of your day-to-day life and you know you're supposed to do it at certain times and places. And so that may be the motivation behind it.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Kathy now in Crandon. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that it's very difficult up here in the Northwoods. We get so many vacationers, snowmobilers, fishermen, tourists up in the area. And it has become a free-for-all since this all started. None of them seem to feel that they need to wear a mask, even though a lot of us are out there working in the public and have our masks on. But it seems that when they get here, they can crowd up. They can just do what they want, no masks. So I know that the mandate's not being enforced, but the representative this morning said, I'm sure everyone will do the right thing. Well, they're not. They come on vacation and no masks. And it's really difficult for those of us that are out working.
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. And Charlie, in the handling of the pandemic, one critique I've seen of the U.S. across the board in some ways is lack of consistent messaging. And I think that's what our caller is pointing to maybe the outcome of.
And it is difficult. And part of it is because we have a system of federalism. And at least for 115 years or so, in the case of pandemics, the United States Supreme Court has been very deferential to the states and said this is not a power to be exercised by the national government. 10th Amendment and the Reserve Power Clause takes these police powers, these health, welfare, and safety kinds of laws, and defers to state action. And so even though you might get a message from the national government, you don't get national impact because of the various ways in which it's going to be enforced in the individual states. And so that mixed message and the muddled message and the contradictory message creates this kinds of division because you have so many competing ideas about what is most appropriate and most effective for orders like mask mandates.
Time for one more caller. Michael is with us in Milwaukee. Michael, hi.
Hi, guys. So I understand both sides. And one of the things I'm kind of worried about is you never see when the Democrats and Republicans are arguing about this, they never come up with any sort of even the idea of a compromise. It's just, I am right, you are wrong. And it's just, to me, it's just, is politics corrupted us to the point where that's all it is I'm right, you're wrong, and nothing else matters?
Michael, thanks a lot for the call. Charlie?
Michael raises some interesting points, and we could spend a couple of hours on the radio talking about some of the deep-seated institutional issues that have led to this. including issues of redistricting and gerrymandering, hyperpartisanship, the loss of moderates in legislatures. It creates a rancor and an acrimony that makes compromise very, very difficult, where you can't even start a conversation because both sides are at the extreme poles and nowhere near the median. And it's I wouldn't say corrupting the politics, but it is eroding the kind of trust that's necessary to accomplish good ends for the public. And when 70% of the public in the last Marquette poll in August said that they want a mask mandate and we can't get a compromise, it seems a little unnerving.
Thanks for everyone's calls. And Charlie, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Charlie Jacobs is a professor of public law, judicial process, and American politics at St. Norbert College. We talked to him today about the ongoing back and forth over Wisconsin's statewide mask mandate and the emergency powers of the governor.